And we think she's one of the best, no question about it. You know, the voice, Angie Carpenter, leading the charge as far as leadership as the great supervisor of the town of Islip. Miss Angie Carpenter joins us. Ladies and gentlemen, here on this early Monday morning, and it is early, and we say a very good morning to you, my dear.
Well, good morning to you. What a way to start a week with all those kind words, and the weather is absolutely gorgeous. Couldn't be better.
Yeah. You know, and I think of the weather, I think of you because, you know, that and everything else and the focusing on, you know, a lot of the upgrades and renovations to the, some of the great parks in and around the town facilities. And you are getting gearing up, I would think, for a wonderful season, Angie.
This is an exciting time of the year. It really, really is. I mean, over the last couple of weekends, we've had a series of Little League openings, and it's a wonderful opportunity to, you know, meet people in the community that really care about our kids, our future, our parks, you know, volunteers that help certainly our parks department get out there and help get the fields going for the season. But there's no way we could do it without the people that are so committed that volunteer. I was at the Little League opening yesterday in the ice slips. And what an incredible story that is. It's a beautiful complex. There are things that need to be attended to. Parking is an issue. But people come together and the kids are there playing. They had their Little League parade. But what was most impressive was, first of all, the president of the league, Sonny Feynman, has been volunteering for 56 years.
Wow.
56 years. And there he was. Standing there, he is not young. He is up in age, and I'm not going to share how old he is in case he prefer I not. But he's there a long time, and he's, you know, past his 80s. Let's leave it that way. But standing tall and proud with the microphone in hand, recognizing all of the members of the board and the volunteers and everything, and they had a dedication, Mrs. Marr, who's volunteered for over 40 years, she and her husband. He has since passed away. They named a field after him years ago. And yesterday, they dedicated Field 2 in her honor. And her whole family was there. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. It really, really doesn't.
That's great stuff. You know, with baseball season and everything else in full, you know, these parks, ball fields, it's a lot of fun and a lot of work involved, you know, especially when I think of your neck of the woods and Clemente and everything else, with the improvements in recent years. You got that splash park, right? You got a revamp pool over there and everything going on. So that's going to be a lot of fun.
Not just a splash park. It's actually a spray park. There is a difference. The splash park is just a pad and the spray park is about 10, 12 inches deep. That collects the water, so it's a different level of experience and maintenance, too. But, you know, yeah, you mentioned Clemente. We had a Little League opening Saturday in Brentwood, and they were pleased and thrilled to learn that plans are underway for a turf field there at Modern Times Park. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Sayville, and, you know, it just is so reflective of the commitment of our communities. And I think that's important because government can't do it alone. And certainly people need government. They need structure. They need the services. But we can't do it all. And over the weekend, you know, I had three or four emails of various situations across the town that I was able to respond to. But people care and they take the time to let you know. And that's how we get things done. That's how, you know, the town gets the reputation that we have right now. And we're also very proud of it. It's a team effort. And guess what? You're part of the team because you helped get the message out. So thank you for that.
Hey, listen, my pleasure. Anything we can do to help on our end. But you provide the arsenal for that messaging. So. And you've been working on, especially when it comes to Long Island's MacArthur Airport. You know, I mean, listen, the incredible revamp and everything else of the baggage area. It's just phenomenal. And, you know, you think about what's going to happen at this airport, Ange, with Amtrak service, the train station. You know, it's really going to change the whole look. You know, you fast forward, you know, 5, 6, 7 years, it's going to be something else.
It truly is. And we're going to stay committed to it. And, you just have to walk into the terminal now and see what's happened to appreciate and understand the possibilities that exist there. You know, I want to share something with you.
Yeah.
A couple of weeks ago, I've been like, I try so hard to maximize every opportunity to let people know about our airport, to, you know, encourage the airlines to come bring more service. This past weekend, there was a promotion. Two couples, one fly away south to Long Island, or fly, it was a south flyaway to Long Island, and two different couples, each one a weekend trip, one on Breeze, one on Frontier, and it's all part of the promotional effort that we're undergoing now to let people outside of Long Island know about us and come and experience all the wonderful things we have here. They went to the theater in Northport. They went to the wineries. They, you know, went to the beaches. They packed a lot in the weekend. But along the lines of trying to get the word out, there's a new CEO at JetBlue, a female. And I wrote to her and congratulated her, the first female ever heading an airline, and, you know, wished her well. And I said, you know, I'm the first female ever elected to the supervisor in 30 plus years, and so forth. And then I read that they were struggling financially, sent them another letter. You know, you might want to think about bringing some of your flights to Islip. And lo and behold, I had also gotten a request, would we write a letter of support? And I'm really giving you a lot of inside baseball, but would we consider writing a letter of support for their merger? And I didn't hesitate because I thought if that merger happened, it would be an instant opportunity for us to get some of those flights at Islip. Mm-hmm. The merger didn't happen, but they didn't forget that I was willing to be there when they needed someone. They reached out and asked if I'd like to come in and meet with their team. So a couple of weeks ago, Shelley and I went in and met with JetBlue. And there was the vice president and someone from network planning and the government affairs person, et cetera. And, you know, we're telling them all about the wonderful opportunities at the airport, everything that's on the horizon, the relocation of the terminal to the north, Midway Crossing, you know, how we are such a stable town, triple bond rating. And I want to talk to you about that too. But in any event, at one point, the guy says, I have to tell you, we have given some thought to Islip. Well, I almost fell off the chair. I was so excited. And obviously that isn't happening anytime soon. But it was interesting that he said to me that, you know, this is a tough time for JetBlue. They've canceled, they've pulled out of airports as Southwest has pulled out of some airports, not ours, thank goodness. But it's a tough time for them. They can't get the staffing they need. They can't get the product. They can't get the planes. Southwest ordered 80 planes. They only got 26. Same issue with JetBlue. So they've cut a number of destinations. So I said to them, well, what about you still have non-performing flights going out of JFK? Why don't you just bring a couple of them over to Islip? I guarantee they'll be, you know, very fast producing for you. And the interesting fact that he told me was that Long Island is the largest catchment area for those that have JetBlue credit cards. I said, see, that just goes to prove my point. I said, everyone loves our airport, but I consistently get asked, why don't you have JetBlue?
Yeah.
So after it was all over, you know, we sent them, you know, information about our incentive packages, et cetera. And I called and said, is it okay if I mention that I met with JetBlue? And they said, yes. Now, I don't know if you meant shared on the radio, but my point is we are exploring every opportunity that we think might be there. And it's really the public can help. If people from the public reach out to JetBlue and say, we want you at our airport, we want you there, it'll have more impact, certainly, if it's consistently done. So, you know, let JetBlue know you want them in Iceland. Help us. Help us help you.
Hey, listen, it doesn't hurt. You know, it's like writing your congressman. Hey,
exactly.
You know what? If enough people, you know, send your governmental leaders, just message them as far as what needs to be done or changed. Or, you know, sometimes it makes an impact.
And you'd be surprised. The most obscure thing that you would never think would have an impact can affect legislation. And I'll give you a very small example. I remember a student reaching out to me. I had often questioned when I was on the county legislature why we didn't have student bus fares. And they said, well, they can't afford it because it's going to, you know, reduce the amount of revenue. And I'm going, I don't buy that. I said, I've never seen a bus go by with every seat full. So if you have empty seats and you're getting half price for some of those seats, it's worth it. It's not costing you anything. And then I got a letter from a student at St. John the Baptist High School who wanted to know why he had to pay full fare. There are a lot of commuting students at St. John's, obviously. And he, when he stayed for activities, he didn't get the regular bus. He had to take, you know, the public transportation.
Yeah.
And I said to him, you know, I've been trying to get that done. So I shared his letter at the legislature, and at a committee meeting, I invited him to come to the meeting. And he stood up there and said, I want student bus. It was priceless. Needless to say, there are student bus fares in Suffolk County now, and that's probably part of the reason it happened.
Wow, how about that? And listen, you know what? If there's a lot of discussion going on, and listen, I've always said, you know how I feel about JetBlue. And let's face it, more people now, they're not even bothering going to Kennedy or LaGuardia, you know, with all the mess over there. They made some changes, well needed, but still, you know, it is an absolute traffic jam trying to make your way in. A lot of people have, even if you're living close to there, a lot of people don't want that headache now. They're coming out to the Islip Airport. They're coming out to MacArthur now to take the flight, even if it means a little diversion. As far as their trek, you know, they'll travel the extra 35, 40 minutes if it means they're going to get through TSA properly. And that's why JetBlue should consider this. They really should.
I'll give you a real live example of what you just said. There's a gentleman who lives in Howard Beach who told me that whenever he flies, especially to Florida, he will get in his car and drive to our airport, park, walk a short distance, get on the TSA line for 10 minutes and, you know, be ready to go, as opposed to living 10 minutes away from JFK. But when he goes to JFK, the parking is atrocious. He has to worry about his car. He refuses to stand on a TSA line for an hour like cattle. Those were his words.
Yep.
He said, I'd much prefer a leisurely drive out to the island. I'm on the phone, you know, speakerphone, but catching up on my phone calls. And it's so much more humane, if you will. It's certainly a far better experience.
Now, listen, I tell the story all the time. I got family in Bayside, Queens. They would rather go to MacArthur at this point in time. I kid you not. They're 12 minutes away from LaGuardia, and they're going to come out to Islip in order to, as Angie just put it, you know, you don't want to fight the crowds, come out to Iceland. That's why JetBlue, be a no-brainer for them. It'd be a win-win. Absolutely.
It really is. It really is. Well, you know, Jay, reach out to them. Maybe they want to come on the show, talk about what's going on in the industry now. It might be an interesting segment.
Jake is writing it down right now, things to do today, so we're going to be on
the
horn with
that. Jake is the best. You know, I touched on it briefly about the credit rating, and we talk about it all the time.
Triple, AAA bond,
with
yeah.
Just Cause. I mean, a AAA bond rating means a lot. You know, we had a decent rating when I got here, but it was my goal to get us upgraded, and we did it. And the airport helped do that, by the way. When I brought the analyst out and did a tour of all the wonderful assets in our town, and I took it to the airport, she walked in and she goes, "Wow, this is a real airport." She obviously working for one of the rating agencies, I won't say which, but lived up in Westchester and really had not been out. But even though she was the analyst for our town, you know, it was a little done via phone and email, et cetera. And, you know, we got that AAA bond rating. But when you go to the bond market, which we did recently to peddle your paper, so to speak, you know, there was a time in Suffolk County back in the bad old days, not so long ago, with the prior county executive, when they were near junk bond status. When they went to market, no one wanted to bid on their paper. And when that happens, you, in order to get that money that you need for those capital projects, you're paying premium. And so fast forward to now, what happened in the county was that COVID happened and they got that infusion of, you know, multiple hundreds of millions of dollars, and they were able to help right the ship financially, not 100%, but we're getting there. But my point is, when you go to market, as we just did last week, we had 15 financial institutions bidding on our paper. So now that means you're going to get the best possible rate. And even in this market, we got a little over 3%.
Wow.
So, I mean, and so the not so pretty exciting parts of governing, you know, really pulling up your sleeves and doing the job and, you know, paying attention to detail really translates to making a real difference in people's quality of life, because we're able to do the projects. Byron Lake, that is going to be incredible when that opens this summer, an incredible facility. And it's going to be like having your own private, you know, pool with a splash pad and the slides in the pool, and the lake has been cleaned up, and it's just incredible. And the concession area has been expanded a bit so that when people in the community or, you know, residents from the town want to have a, you know, a small wedding party, you know, 25, 30 people, a christening, a birthday, and a retirement, they'll be able to, you know, lease the facility in a beautiful, beautiful environment, you know, right in their own hometown.
Yeah, I was reading about Byron Lake in Oakdale. That's going to be great. Really is. A lot of upgrades, a lot of renovations to all these parks. It's going to make for a wonderful summer. A couple of minutes with the supervisor remain, Andrew Carpenter. Midway Crossing, that's going to be another one that we have certainly marked for the future and everything else. A lot of excitement. We talk a lot with some of the leaders in building. Rich Heumann, one of our friends, so he'll be on in a couple of minutes. But, you know, we always get great, great reports, Ange, as far as Midway.
Well, you know, it really is very, very exciting. And it is something that will obviously be sustainable into the future, but is something that will have a positive impact, even though, you know, you hear multi-billion dollars. You know, you have to remember there's 1,300 acres over there at the airport.
Yeah.
And this is going to sit on a little bit of it. And we're not talking about the kinds of uses that are going to generate, you know, hundreds of thousands of people flocking to the neighborhood. We're talking about a life sciences center with the kinds of six-figure jobs that this region so desperately needs. We've spent a fortune educating our kids, and, you know, whether or not they increase state aid, you know, it's still costing money. Taxes aren't going down, and we've got to find a way to sustain ourselves. And it needs to be by having the kinds of uses for available property that will bring that revenue, that will bring the kind of jobs that will keep our young people here. not that we pay to educate them and then they go off to live in other parts of the country, or our seniors who have paid, you know, into the system all these years. And when it comes time for them to retire and be where their families are, they're forced to go to Florida or Tennessee or some other place because they can't afford the taxes here. They can't afford to live here on a fixed income. That's criminal. That's really criminal. So, you know, it's incumbent upon us to do whatever we can to stem that tide. And this is that answer. And we have reached out to the governor. We need the help from the state. We've asked for $150 million for infrastructure funding to help with the sewer connection and everything that has to happen. And those kind of infrastructure improvements are not only good for the project, but they're good for the people that live and work there now to have that railroad crossing at Ocean Avenue upgraded. I mean, it's a disaster on Ocean, the traffic. People are always stopped going north and south there. There are a lot of infrastructure improvements that are needed, and that investment by the state is going to help jumpstart this. So, you know, the governor, who's made a few missteps, and she has tried, you know, not always followed through in the best manner, but I'm giving her an opportunity to show that she really cares about Long Island. You know, you can say it, but here's a chance to prove it. Make that investment in something that is meaningful.
No, you're right. And listen, we've been critical of her here in the morning. And let's see what happens. You know, listen, people can change, right? People could change the whole affordable housing stuff from a year ago when she came out. Obviously, need a lot of tweaking there. So, you know, let's see. Let's see what happens here. And then that has always been the sticking point, you know, always been the sticking point.
You know, she talks about housing, and there really needs to be a focus on affordable housing, but it doesn't necessarily mean a tremendous amount of more housing, because then that just stretches your infrastructure. A way to have affordable housing is perhaps finding a better way to fund education so that we don't have the huge property taxes. If people weren't paying $15,000 property taxes on some homes, which I see, and I'm not talking about mansions, I'm talking about, you know, regular houses in the neighborhood, you know, it's not unusual to hear that they're paying $15,000. If those taxes were reduced, that house would really be more affordable now, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Listen, it could. I mean, that, to me, that's the key. You know, if they could somehow make sure that everything is in play, keep some of the youth here, grow the economy and everything else, you know, that would be a win-win. You know, so it's something to keep an eye on. Listen, before I let you go, any new information? I was thinking about Heartland Town Square. We haven't discussed that in so long. I know it's hotly contested, a lot going on there with the property over there at Pilgrim. But is there any updates regarding any of that, Ange?
No, I have not heard. You know, a few people have asked about that, and I'm going to reach out this week. I'm going to reach out to the developer, David Walkoff. I know that his intent is to move forward with the project. He has, you know, a permit in hand to start the first phase of the project. Yeah. You know, let's remember, it's 80 acres there. So there's room for sure. But there was question about the sewer connection. And that's under the purview of the county, and I hope that they've worked that out. That was the last little stumbling block that I heard about. But I will reach out to him, Jay, and I'll get back to you.
Awesome. Always great having you. Angie Carpenter, ladies and gentlemen, the great supervisor of the town of Islip. Keep up the great work. I mean, the folks are going to kind of reap the benefits of all the hard work coming into play. We're going to hit 80 degrees today, and that's a surefire method of getting out and enjoy some of these great parks in and around. So thank you again, and we hope to see you soon, lady.
Thank you, and everyone at JVC for what you do in helping get the word out to our communities.
We got it.
This really is a hometown. Thank you.